From the Crossbreed Holster Studios, this is Armed American Radio.
Radio. Educating, informing,
and entertaining responsibly armed Americans for 8 years running. Now, from the safest studio in the nation and filling your prescription for freedom in hundreds of cities, here is Mark Walters.
Having more fun than I should be able to have. Honest to goodness, happy Easter to you. I hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend. I hope you got to spend some great quality time with your family. I did. Started out with going to church and then a brunch with my family and spent the day together. It was just a lot of fun, and I hope you did the same thing. Such a great day, such a great weekend, and I hope you took advantage of it. Welcome to Armed American Radio, the monster broadcast airing in hundreds of cities and now in Germany. Germany, you're listening live right now. That's right, Germany, on radio waves. Love you guys. And boy, I tell you, I know we'll get some email. I know we will. Let me start this. We're going to talk in this hour about the law of self-defense. These are wildly popular segments on Armed American Radio because it fascinates all of us. I'm one of you. It fascinates me. I have pulled a gun on two people. I didn't have to fire the gun. And because I didn't have to fire the gun, I thought, oh, I don't have anything to worry about. I was fortunate. I didn't. So we're going to talk about all kinds of this fun stuff, stand your ground and everything else. But before I go there, I want to go back to that stand your ground for just a second. If you were listening to AWR Hawkins in the previous hour, you heard us mention stand your ground now being the law of the land in Iowa. Florida is now doing, I don't want to say battle, but it has been a political battle in Florida. Why is Florida so important? There are a handful of states around the country, Florida being one of them, Arizona being another, and a couple others, that what happens there likely will happen where you are and where I am. Florida being probably the biggest. Of course, we can go back to 1987 to their landmark concealed carry, their concealed carry weapons license, and on down there. We all know where all that wouldn't go down that rabbit hole now, not enough time. But it was Florida that created where we are today with that landmark law. Now, there's a lot of people out there say, well, they took away open carry. No, it wasn't the case. You got to go back and stand where we were back then. It was great legislation when it passed. And it put us where we are today in the state you're in. Stand your ground, Iowa, came from Florida in 2005 when it was signed into law. In October of 2005, Florida is working to fix stand your ground by placing the burden of proof on the prosecutor and not you. Now, Tampa's favorite boneheaded columnist, Daniel Ruth, this guy's just an outright hypocrite, bald-faced liar. That's what Daniel Ruth is. The guy's been clowning around with your rights for decades. It's time for him to just go away. But in the meantime, he hasn't, so you can read all his dopey stuff at the Tampa Bay Times, and I encourage you to do so. But he's got a piece out back on 410 titled, Lawmakers Poised to Make Stand Your Ground Worse. To make it worse. By doing what? By putting the burden of proof requirement on the state, not you. They have to prove your guilt. You don't have to prove your innocence. That's the way it's supposed to work in this country. And it's moving its way through now, and it will be signed. If it gets to the governor, it's going to be signed. So there's some controversy down there. I will be on the Captain's America Third Watch with my great friend, Captain Matt Bruce, on Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern time. Make sure to tune in. We're going to be talking about this in great length, about Daniel Ruth. He's a bonehead. I've tangled with Daniel Ruth over the years. He doesn't respond to emails anymore because he can't. He can't. He can't refute what I'm saying. He's a coward. But we're going to talk about Daniel Ruth on Wednesday. So you listeners around the country that are listening to the Captain's America Third Watch, 5 a.m. Eastern Time, 2 a.m. Pacific Time on the Captain's America Third Watch this Wednesday in just a few days. And then we'll follow that up with the captain next week because there will be more stuff coming out about Stand Your Ground. And we'll start with this boneheaded clown, Daniel Ruth, down there. Daniel Ruth, who, by the way, just admitted in a previous column a few weeks back that I referred to, whose wife heard somebody trying to get in, and he ran down in his underwear, and I guess he was going to run down all scary and bad himself and just, you know, scare him away. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if Daniel Ruth was a gun owner. He wouldn't admit it, well, because that would blow out everything he's ever written about you over the last, you know, 30 or 40 years. So who knows? Hypocrisy. His hypocrisy is a, was it Val Kilmer in Tombstone, right? One of my favorite movies of all time. My hypocrisy knows no bounds. That's about where Daniel Ruth was at. So make sure to tune in to the Captain's America Third Watch, 5 a.m. Eastern Time, this coming Wednesday. Going to be a great show with my good friend Captain Matt Bruce. And we'll follow it up with a segment with him in the following week on this monster broadcast. Let's go now, and I want to start with Stand Your Ground with my next guest, Andrew Branca, author of The Law of Self-Defense. And just, I got to tell you, a superhero in legal circles. I had a great opportunity to talk with Andrew Branca and John Lott and Alan Gottlieb all together in one spot at the USCCA Concealed Carry Convention last week in Fort Worth. And it's always fun to talk with Andrew. Andrew, welcome back to the show, my friend. You're one of my most popular guests. You ready to roll?
Very kind of you, Mark. Yes, of course. I'm more than happy to be here.
I love that microphone. You're coming in just all high and mighty. It sounds great. Great to have you here. Let's start with Stand Your Ground. I want to go there. You know, Iowa just passed and the governor just signed Stand Your Ground. Can I take you back to George Zimmerman? Can we go back to 2012 briefly?
Of course.
All right, let's start there. Because there's a misconception out there, Andrew, whenever we hear Stand Your Ground coming from those who don't like us, they always hearken back to George Zimmerman. The George Zimmerman case was never Stand Your Ground. It was never invoked by his attorneys, was it?
Neither was it invoked, nor should it have been. Stand Your Ground, all Stand Your Ground does is relieve you from otherwise existing duty to retreat. And you only ever have a duty to retreat if retreat is safely possible. Zimmerman was getting his head smashed into a sidewalk while he was pinned to the ground, and he screamed for help for 45 seconds. Escape was not possible. So regardless of whether he'd been in Florida, which is a Stand Your Ground state, or Massachusetts, which is definitely not, retreat would not have been an issue. And if retreat's not an issue, Stand Your Ground doesn't change anything.
Then why do the enemies of our freedoms like to go back to that Stand Your Ground and demonize it so, when what it simply says, as we heard in the previous hour, if you were listener to the previous hour, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News talking about this, Stand Your Ground simply gives you the ability to not have to run away because you have a right to be where you are and defend yourself. Now, look, I'm going to give you great advice right now. Take it, okay? If you can get away, get away. It's that simple. The best gunfight is the one that never happens. Let's make that very, very clear. That's what responsible people tell you. That's why we're responsible gun owners. If you can get the hell out of Dodge, get the hell out of Dodge. Andrew, isn't that probably the best advice of all? Then we'll go back to Stand Your Ground because you didn't get out of the way because you couldn't. Wouldn't it be best to just go away?
Absolutely. As you say, the best way to win a gunfight or a knife fight or any kind of fight is to be someplace else. If you don't have to fight, for Pete's sake, don't do it. Remember, the moment you go hands-on with somebody, you've just incurred a greater than zero risk of death and a greater than zero risk of going to jail for the rest of your life. So unless the stakes are worth it and it's absolutely necessary, why assume those risks?
All right, well, you just hit the nail on the head. Unless the stakes are worth it, because that's what we talk about, unless you are in fear of imminent death or great bodily harm. What does imminent death or great bodily harm mean to Andrew Branca, the writer and author of The Law of Self-Defense? What does that mean?
Well, there's up to five requirements for any use of force to be valid self-defense. One of them is that the threat against which you're defending yourself is an imminent threat. It's something that's about to happen right now. It's not some guy who says, I'm mad at you, I'm going to go home and get my gun and come back here and shoot you. That's a future, possible, speculative threat. It's not an imminent threat that's about to immediately occur. You can't use force against a speculative future threat. You can only use force against a threat that's immediately threatening, that's imminent, that's about to happen right now. If you're using a gun to defend yourself, then you need to be facing a threat of death or grave bodily harm. That's the element of proportionality in a self-defense claim. So your use of defensive force has to be proportional to the force with which you're threatened.
Okay, let me stop you there, because I know I'm going to, you know, I just was told that's because I've been doing this for so long. I knew I was going to hear Sean say 30 seconds. I'm sorry to ask you that Yeah, I should have waited until the end of the break or until we come back from a break to ask you that. But it's a great place to stop right now because I want to tie that back to what Florida is getting ready to do with Stand Your Ground, and that is shift the burden of proof. So when we come back from the break, I want to go through those five elements with Andrew Branca, author of The Law of Self-Defense, and then go back and take it back, if you will, one step to what a shift in that Florida law will do and what it means and what the legal ramifications might be when that occurs. We'll be back with Andrew Branca, author, Law of Self-Defense, right after this. This is great radio. Don't go away.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit DefendThem.com to enter for free today, and there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to DefendThem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's DefendThem.com.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeThereProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeThereProtector.com. That's BeThereProtector.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
We'll be right back. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Mike Gallagher, love the guy. What a great friend and just an amazing talk radio host. Welcome back to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. USCCAOnAir.com. Let's go there quickly. The Gun A Day giveaway, and you've only got about 1 hour and 38 minutes if you're listening to my voice live right now. The Gun A Day giveaway at USCCAOnAir.com. If you activate one of the three levels of the self-defense shields, is an H&K P30 valued at $1,054. You won't get the gun. You'll get the check for $1,054. Here's what I can promise you. The $1,054 MSRP will be more than you can find the gun for. So you're going to have some doughies left over to buy yourself some ammo or a couple new accessories, maybe even a really cool holster. If you don't win the Gun A Day, you are in the running to be one of three winners to win the Ultimate Home Defense Arsenal, valued at about $31,000 total, figure about 10 and change to you, if you happen to be the winner. All you've got to do is activate a self-defense shield. We'll talk more about it when we come back from another break towards the end of this hour. USCCAOnAir.com. We're back in the Crossbreed Holster Studios with Andrew Branca. Andrew, you're out in Colorado. You're sounding great. Let's get cracking. Let's go back to those five elements. My question was, those five. You brought up those five elements, so let's go back to them. What are they? And that is imminent threat. My question was, what does imminent threat mean? And you were finishing that up. Go for it.
Sure, I'll try to be a little more succinct. I forget sometimes that I'm on the radio. In all 50 states, a claim of self-defense requires four elements. All 50 states require four. They're innocence, imminence, proportionality, and reasonableness, meaning innocence, you could not have been the aggressor in the fight. Imminence, you're facing a threat that's about to happen to you right now. Proportionality, you didn't use any more force than necessary in self-defense. And reasonableness, you acted reasonably as a reasonable and prudent person would have. In 15 states, they add an additional requirement, and that's the duty to retreat. 15 states are duty to retreat states. In the other 35 states, those are stand your ground states, and there's only the four elements. What stand your ground does, of course, is it removes that duty to retreat. So once the state is in the stand your ground bucket, you only have four elements that need to be present for your self-defense claim.
All right, currently right now in those 35 states, correct me if I'm wrong, and I may be, this is all, you know, Florida's is popping up with this again now and kind of changing the rules a little bit, and I like what I see coming out of this because it switches the burden of proof. First, let's talk about the hearing, and let's use Florida as an example because it is going to go across the country when it's signed. Other states will begin looking at doing the same thing. Am I right? Is it just Florida that's going to, or will they be alone with the shift of burden of proof, do you know?
Well, it's important that we distinguish between we're actually changing the subject now. Stand your ground has to do with whether or not you have a legal duty to retreat. What Florida is debating is self-defense immunity, which is something quite different. Self-defense immunity says if your conduct qualifies as self-defense, however it's defined in your particular state, if your conduct was within the rules of self-defense, then you qualify to be immunized from either criminal prosecution or civil suit, depending on the state. Many states have passed self-defense immunity laws. Very few of them provided the courts with any guidelines on how this thing was supposed to be implemented. Florida did the same approach. The legislature said if you acted in self-defense, you have legal immunity, but they didn't explain how you got the immunity. They left it to the courts to decide. And the courts have spent much of the last 15 years trying to figure out the optimal way to do this. The method they've come up with is you can go to a pretrial hearing, present your evidence of self-defense to a judge, and if you convince a judge by a preponderance of the evidence that you acted in self-defense, you get the immunity. The problem is judges are just blindly denying immunity to everybody. So when the standard is on the defendant to prove self-defense by a majority of the evidence, it's simply not being accepted by the courts. That's why the Florida legislature is stepping in, because in effect what the courts have done is made immunity impossible to get.
All right, let's put this in perspective for the listener here that might not quite get what we're talking about when immunity when it comes to this pretrial hearing. Let's go to, can you give me any other example of any other case that maybe not even self-defense where it is where the requirement where that burden is placed on me to prove that at a pretrial hearing? Is there anything like that out there?
It's actually quite common for these kinds of what are called affirmative defenses, self-defense.
Bingo, there you go, affirmative defense. Please explain it.
An affirmative defense is a a defense that the defendant raises against a criminal charge. So he's not necessarily saying, I didn't do it. He's saying, I did it. I did the act I'm accused of doing, but I had some kind of legal justification or affirmative defense, meaning, for example, I was acting in self-defense, or I was acting in defense of another person, or I was being coerced, someone who was threatening to kill me if I didn't do this particular thing. All of those are traditionally things that a defendant needs to prove. He's raising that defense. The burden's on him. Now, at trial, when you raise self-defense, the burden shifts to the state, and the state has to disprove self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt. That's true in every state, except unfortunately for Ohio, which is a different story. But what the Florida courts had decided was, all right, when you get to trial, we'll make the state disprove your claim of self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt. But for purposes of this pretrial hearing, we're going to make you, the defendant, prove self-defense by 51% of the evidence. That's what the legislature is trying to address now by applying the same legal standard at the pretrial hearing, that the burden's on the prosecution beyond a reasonable doubt to disprove self-defense, that they apply at the trial itself.
All right, now this would, in theory, eliminate or change that burden of then proof to immunity, correct? That's going to change. It's going to alter that. So basically, you've got a pre-trial trial.
Essentially, it's a pre-trial trial. That's correct. In fact, many of your listeners might be familiar with Curtis Reeves. He was a retired police officer in Florida who
correct.
Shot someone in a movie theater over a popcorn-throwing incident. I can tell you as a criminal defense attorney, most murder trials last 2 or 3 days. That's it. They don't last very long. The Curtis Reeves self-defense immunity pretrial hearing that just wrapped up last month took 2 weeks
right.
for that. So that really was a mini trial in and of itself.
Now, how do we keep that? Now, I'm very familiar with that case, as you know. Talked about it on the program. I don't want to say ad nauseum, but we did discuss it quite a bit. And a lot of personal stuff with me there. I know that area well. It's home to me. That's the theater I would have gone to with my wife if I were there that day. That's home for me. So I know that area well. I didn't think he was going to be successful at that pretrial hearing. I didn't, for the reasons you mentioned previously. Having said that, okay, well, this guy was, it seemed like a full-fledged trial. How do we keep that trial out of the upcoming trial now?
Oh, you can't. Everything that was said in that pretrial hearing is valid evidence to submit in the trial itself. In fact, that's one of the reasons that many criminal defense attorneys in Florida tell me they won't even request self-defense immunity at a pretrial hearing because it forces them to lay out on the table their entire legal strategy, and the chances that the judges will actually grant the immunity is so low that it's not worth exposing their strategy when they don't think there's going to be any upside to it.
All right, perfect place to end. We're getting ready to take a break, so I'll close with this. You've got 10 seconds to answer. Right back to George Zimmerman. Is there reason there why his attorneys didn't invoke that and just let it go to self-defense at trial? Was that why?
Yeah, they simply didn't believe that given the political situation, the judge was at all likely to grant immunity, so there was no point pursuing it.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Andrew Branca, author of The Law of Self-Defense, now in its third edition, about the false security of being armed. We're going to go to chapter 10 of that book. Incredible stuff. Get a notepad and a pen. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to these Crossbreed Holster Studios. The Monster Cast is well underway. I'm talking with the great attorney and author, Andrew Branca. He wrote the book, The Law of Self-Defense, now in its third edition. This thing is, it's right there with The Gravest Extreme and some other works by Massad Ayoub. I've taken Massad Ayoub's Mag 20 and his legal self-defense courses. They are amazing. And this one is right there with it. You're listening to the successor here. This is the real deal. This book is an absolute must-have for your library. You must have this if you carry a firearm. Just like I tell you, you need the self-defense. These are two tools that work in unison. You've got to have the self-defense insurance. If you carry a gun, you cannot ignore these. You simply can't. Understand what I'm telling you. You cannot ignore this stuff. If you carry a firearm, you absolutely must read this material. It is that simple. Get it. The Law of Self-Defense. Carry the insurance. I told you about it before. These things go absolutely hand in hand. It's why Andrew works with the organization that provides the self-defense insurance. All of this information and all of these tools work together to keep you safe, not just your life safe with the defensive tool that you carry, but in the event, God forbid, you have to use it, to keep you safe legally and home where you belong. This is so important. I cannot stress it enough. All right, Andrew, welcome back. Chapter 10. You say it here, but I knew it before I read it. I knew that the way this was all going to come together here. And you mention it right here. Let me show you. So, okay, here it is. The title of this is A Legally Sound Defense Strategy. It's Chapter 10 from the Law of Self-Defense. Okay, here it is. The chapter where we bring it all together. It has taken hard work to get here, and I'm sure you could use a break. Okay, good. Did you enjoy the break? Now that you're back, let's keep focused, because this is unquestionably the single most important chapter of the entire book. So what you did was the book brought us really right smack to this point, and it starts off talking about avoidance. These are things that, as you say, go without saying, that increase your likelihood of jail and doesn't help your survival. Anything is a bad idea. For example, if you inscribe thug killer on your pistol slide, will that turn a clean self-defense shoot into a murder conviction? Maybe not, but it could turn a marginal self-defense shoot into manslaughter, quite possibly. And even if the legal risk is only minimal, it is offset by a higher likelihood of survival? I doubt it. That is a very poor trade-off. Let's start off with avoidance. Let's go there first.
Well, again, it's really straightforward, at least in principle. We talked about it earlier. The best way to win a fight for good guys like us is to not get into the fight in the first place. You get into a fight, you incur a greater than risk of death, a greater than zero risk of going to jail for the rest of your life. You don't want to incur that risk unless there's a darn good reason. And I know personally from my own life, I have a list of about four things I'm willing to assume those risks for. It's not a very long list.
What are they?
My life, my family's life, the life of another innocent who's obviously an innocent. I'm talking here about a mass shooting event, a school shooting event. I'm not talking about simply intervening in someone else's fight. I think that's a quite different scenario. And then a handful of friends who I'd be willing to take that risk for.
All right. I like to say, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. In the subsequent page here, you pretty much say the same thing. Don't do stupid things. Don't go to stupid places. Don't hang out with stupid people. If you can abide by these rules, I expect you avoid 99% of the trouble that life can throw at you. Let me give you a real-life example, Andrew. You're probably familiar with the case. I believe it was in Michigan about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I talked about it extensively on the show. But it was a road rage incident where two individuals with their families in the car pulled off at a car wash in Michigan. Both got off the road, both men, testosterone flying. One got out with a gun. The other one saw his opponent had a gun, reached in the car for his gun. A gunfight ensued. Within 1 minute, both men lay dead in front of their respective vehicles. Their families left to wonder what the hell just happened. Like that. That's what you want to avoid, correct?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the key is, none of this is rocket science, but it's really important that people think about these issues beforehand, before they find themselves facing a prospective threat. The people who are clients in my practice come to us not because they acted out of malice for the most part. These are good guys. They come to us because they made a poor decision under the stress of the moment when they hadn't previously thought about what they ought to do in these situations. And they get engaged in a fight they didn't have to get engaged in. They get involved in someone else's dispute they didn't have to get involved in. And afterwards, they realize, oh, my God, I could have just avoided it completely. And they wouldn't be looking at spending a lot of money on my services and prospectively going to jail for a very long period of time.
All right, let's lead that into the false security of being armed, which is really where I've been looking forward to go with you in this segment. And I quote from you again: many people believe that a gun strapped to their hip means they don't have to take gruff from anybody. If you're one of those people, correct that perception now. The truth could not be more than the opposite. Now that you're carrying a gun, you've got to take guff from everyone. What does that mean?
Well, everyone except, of course, the person trying to kill you or commit a felony assault upon you. That's what the gun is for. But every lesser threat than that, you have to develop the skills and the temperament to not get engaged with those lesser threats. Those lesser threats, people who are insulting or mean or cutting in front of you in line or using their phone in the movie theater, you either have to be able to just let that stuff go or remove yourself from the environment. I've left movie theaters more than once with my wife because something like that was going on. And I'd rather disengage than end up putting myself in a position where a fight could spool up over something so stupid. And if you have a gun on your person and a fight spools up, It's very common for people under the stress of the situation to go to the gun under circumstances that don't legally justify going to the gun, because they're genuinely scared by what's happening. And then they end up facing an aggravated assault charge, looking at 10 to 15 years in prison.
The ultimate form, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, of de-escalation is to get out of Dodge. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not there, you can't be hurt. If you're not there, they can't threaten you. Or if they are going to threaten you, now they have to pursue you, and that's a completely different dynamic. If the bad guy is coming to you, that's a clear case of self-defense, almost impossible for a prosecutor to overcome. If you're going to the bad guy or look like you're accepting an invitation from the bad guy to fight, that does not look like self-defense to a prosecutor, a judge, or a jury.
Now, you say if you carry a gun, you have to learn to take guff from everybody. I like to put it in these terms. I think it's the same thing. But if you're carrying a firearm, you have absolutely got to check your ego at the door. When the guy drives by you and doesn't like the turn you made and flips you off, you've got to be able to look the other way. It's that simple. If you're not capable of doing that, what would your recommendation be? If a person is not capable of what I like to call checking their ego at the door when they walk out with that firearm, what would you recommend to that person?
Yeah, so I've been a gun owner my entire life. I carry a gun every single day and have for 25 years. I consider myself a Second Amendment absolutist, meaning we all have a fundamental God-given natural right to arm ourselves for the protection of ourselves and our family. Having said that, not everyone is temperamentally suited to carry a gun around in public. It's just the way it is. Armed self-defense is a thinking man's game. It's a responsible person's game. It's not for every Yahoo that's out there. If you can't control your temperament, if you can't make good decisions under stress, you may not be an appropriate candidate to be carrying around the gun in public. Doesn't mean I would take the right away from you, but I think you should think long and hard if you fall into that category of people, whether or not it's prudent for you to be armed in public.
Isn't that the person that's more likely going to have to need your services? We've got 30 seconds.
I know it sounds self-defeating. I'm taking business away from myself by cautioning these people. But I'd rather see good people not incur these risks.
All right. When we come back from the break, I want to ask you about defensive display. And this is something that you talk about here, amongst other things in this chapter. But I think I get more questions on this than anything else and have over the years. The individual, what really is defensive display? Is putting my hand on the back of my hip and not doing anything? Is that defensive display? Is lifting up my shirt, putting my thumb inside my waistband and my hand on my grip, is that defensive display? Does it have to come out of the holster? And what are the legal consequences in most cases of that, even if the gun isn't used? We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to
join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
All right, I have a request for you before we finish up this last segment of The Law of Self-Defense with Andrew Branke. If you joined the USCCA and have the insurance, regardless of the level, as a listener to Armed American Radio, and that's why you picked it up, I want to hear from you. I'm going to read a bunch of these in subsequent shows. And I just got another one here, why I joined the USCCA Platinum membership. They're great emails. I get a bunch of them, but I want you to send them to me, mark@armedamericanradio.org. I can't tell you enough how important this stuff is. And I want to hear from those of you who this show has impacted to make that decision. It's very, very important. And I want to hear from you. I want to read your stories so that others get this message absolutely loud and clear. There are certain things you have to know if you carry a firearm, even if you're more so, frankly, if you're considering it. If you carry one as a responsibly armed American, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and assume, and I know that's dangerous, that you've already thought these things through. If you haven't, I hope what you're hearing here encourages you to do just that. Okay? If not, you might be one of those people that might want to rethink just how responsibly armed you are. But if you're in the process of making the decision, I ask you, I beg you, to get your hands on this information. Please, this can keep you out of a tremendous amount of trouble. We're talking life-altering or life-ending trouble. This is very serious business. You have 1 hour and 10 minutes from right now to get in on that H&K P30 gun giveaway valued at $1,054, usccaonair.com. Don't worry if you miss out on this one. There's another one tomorrow. They might even have three guns giving away tomorrow. You'll probably know before I do because I'll be asleep. In the meantime, usccaonair.com. Let's wrap up with Andrew Branke, The Law of Self-Defense. Andrew, welcome back to the program. Love having you here. Just incredible information. Let's go back to the display of a firearm. I get this question a lot. People ask, what is display? if I flip my coat back because I've yelled and I've taken your advice, I've yelled, I've made noise, I've sought out witnesses, as you say in the book in Chapter 10, The Law of Self-Defense, and nothing's working, they're continuing to come at me. Now I'm thinking, because you said it's a thinking man's game, maybe if I display my firearm, you reach back, throw the coat open, lift up the shirt, or maybe just put your hand back. They know the motion. And you're thinking, okay, this is enough to stop it. And guess what? They run away. You get in your car, continue putting your groceries away, scared to death, and all of a sudden the blue lights pull up at you because somebody's claimed you pulled a gun on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do we need to know?
Now, most states have laws about the irresponsible actual display of an actual gun, brandishing laws, for example. But I have to be honest, those are not the ones that concern me. The ones that concern me are the aggravated assault charges, because those are the ones, brandishing is a relatively minor criminal offense. Aggravated assault is not a relatively minor criminal offense. It's good for 10 to 15 years in most jurisdictions.
It's a felony in every state, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is.
Okay.
And, even if you only serve a third of the sentence, you're looking at 5 years hard time in prison.
Right.
And the way aggravated assault works is you've committed an aggravated assault if you've put some other person in fear of imminent death or grave bodily harm. You do that when you point a gun at them. Now, when you're doing it in self-defense, of course, you'll say, yes, I committed that aggravated assault, but I had legal justification for doing so. I was acting in self-defense. But you don't even need to point the gun at someone to have committed an aggravated assault. All you have to do is put them in fear of the gun. So merely displaying your gun in the holster, putting your hand on the gun, even pretending that you have a gun that you're reaching for is enough to constitute aggravated assault if you've put that other person in fear of death or grave bodily harm. An aggravated assault charge that you'll now need to raise the defense of self-defense against.
What if I yell, stop, 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 it isn't working, they're continuing to approach me, stop, I've got a gun, I'll use it?
Where people tend to have less legal risk in these situations, it's never zero legal risk, by the way. As we mentioned in a previous appearance on your program, there's always a greater than zero risk. You could do everything legally right and still end up in jail. But where people tend to have less risk is when they're in that kind of situation and the threat that keeps coming closer is a deadly force threat. So it's someone who has a weapon or it's some disparity of numbers or there's a substantial disparity in size, strength, or fighting ability, or it's a male aggressor and a female defender, something that can be woven into a narrative of a deadly force threat against you. And you use your threat of your gun, your defensive firearm, in an effort to dissuade that person. I think that's a reasonably robust self-defense narrative to present to a prosecutor, to present to a jury. Where people get in trouble is where that threat is coming closer, but there's no argument to be made that it's in fact a deadly force threat. It's a man who's not apparently armed, who's the same size as you, no known exceptional fighting ability, you're alone, he's alone, it's not like he has a bunch of friends with him. And if people only have a gun to defend themselves, they get frightened in that situation, and they tend to go to the only tool they have, which is the gun. And unfortunately, that's not a very defensible situation. If the other person's not presenting a deadly force threat, going to the gun is extremely legally hazardous.
You know, I want to go back to a couple things we talked about in another appearance, in a previous appearance on the show. And that is, I have to go back to this. I have to go back to this preparation, avoidance, and awareness thing. I have to. I'm remiss if I don't. I think because this is such serious business with such serious consequences, as you said, and I know, for example, Florida where I lived, and you know, I pulled a gun on two people in Florida who were coming at me in my vehicle. And I think back about this stuff after talking with you, but I'm the good guy, okay? I'm the good guy. Certainly everybody's going to know I'm the good guy, and that's what frustrates a lot of people when we see stories. And we see there will be no charges against so-and-so, or the guy in the house with the AR-15, these guys were coming in, there will be no charges. We see a lot of these. I read these happy ending stories all the time on the show. No charges pending. There will be no charges. The sheriff said it was a clear-cut case of self-defense, and on and on and on. It doesn't always work out that way, does it? So there we go, right smack back full circle to prepare to avoid by being aware so you never find yourself in this position to begin with. Is that good, sound advice?
Absolutely. And keep in mind that in many of those cases where charges aren't brought, they weren't brought not because they couldn't have been. The defender made mistakes. They made legal mistakes that created legal liability for them. But the authorities chose to use their discretion not to bring the charges. That's not where we want to be. We want to be in a position of strength, legally speaking. And I know we're running up against the end of the clock, and there's a couple things I wanted to get into the show, Mark, if I could.
Go right ahead.
If people like what I say when I appear on your radio program, there's something important they should keep in mind. If you're a member of USCCA and you get in a legal jam over a use of force event, USCCA pays your legal expenses. That's not just your lawyer. They pay me, too. And it's very expensive to have me work on your case. It adds up to thousands of dollars very quickly. And I can tell you that USCCA writes me a check like that when I consult on a case for one of their clients. So something to keep in mind. Another thing I want to mention is for this month, April, we are running a sale on a bunch of our stuff, our book, our online classes, our instructor program, 25% off. And that can save quite a bit of money. Our instructor program is $1,000, so it saves $250. And if you're currently or have ever been in the military, law enforcement, or first responder, and we include ambulance and nurses in that category.
10 seconds, brother.
That's another 15% discount. So
website,
take a look at our website, lawofselfdefense.com.
Andrew Branca, thank you, my friend. Can't wait to bring you back. Looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks in Atlanta, Georgia, at the National Rifle Association Convention, and for everything you do and the amazing advice that you provide. Boy, that's good stuff. Andrew Branca, remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club, but you better know what you're doing. I'll see you on the radio tomorrow on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.